Open your Bibles with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and look with me, please, at verse 12. It reads like this: "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving aside the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection." That's the passion and thrust of the book of Hebrews. Turn to chapter 10 with me, please. In verse 19, it reads like this: "Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, our hope, without wavering. He is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What's the theme? Let us go on. Let us go on. Let us go on. Let's take our game to a new level. Last week, in studying Hebrews chapter 13, there were 5 points of reference that we talked. I called it the cycle or the circle of the good life. It's the process that the writer lays out as he closes this marvelous epistle to exhort the readers, the listeners, to apply to their lives the good truth that they've been learning in the previous 12 chapters. Remember, it begins by having our hearts established in grace, planted in the fertile soil of God's grace. Our identity, our importance, our significance, all flows, our confidence, our assurance is all rooted and anchored, not in ourselves, not in what we can do, not even in our best efforts, but in the grace of God, what God has done for us. That's where we draw our identity. That's where our souls are nurtured. That's where we look when we want to know, am I important? Do I matter? Is there significance in my life? Does God care? All of that comes from the grace of God. And as we study from the scriptures what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, what his grace makes available for us, we root our lives. We send down into the soil of God's grace the roots of our lives and drink deeply of the nourishments and strength that flow from his grace. That's where it begins. Then we heard the writer say, now, having good roots is good, but you need to let your heart express itself then through your mouth, and your lips need to be filled with praise, thanksgiving to God, living a grateful life, a life that is expressing appreciation to God and to others, draws its strength out of the grace of God, expresses praise and thanksgiving to those around us and to God himself for his goodness to us. Our hands need to be occupied in good things, doing things that are pleasing and honoring to God, that are beneficial and a blessing to those around us. Our consciences need to be clean. We need to listen to the inner voice of our conscience, for often that's where the Spirit of God himself bears witness with our spirit, and it's through our conscience that often God gives us direction and leadership. And then that led us to this verse in chapter 13, verse 20. As we observe that all this must be energized by God himself. That's the fifth station in this cycle. God himself must energize our lives. He must be our source of energy. The verse says in Hebrews 13:20, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And we observed last week that God in this verse himself becomes involved as the energy. We become, he is the ever-ready battery. He is the source. He is the current. He is the one who connects his energies, his strength, his life into our lives. And through that vital connection, he refreshes, he replenishes, he energizes, he strengthens, he corrects. And thus the cycle begins again. It's God's active work in our life that makes his grace effective to the roots of our heart. And out of our heart flow sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God. Out of our thanksgiving, works that are good and gracious touch the lives of others. Constantly monitored by a good conscience, which is then energized by God as he flows into our lives. And you see how that cycle goes. Last week, as I heard reports about the Indianapolis 500 and the, 600 at Daytona? I think it's Daytona, where they run in a circle for 600 miles. Imagine that. Round and round and round and round. And I thought, you know, there are probably some Christians like that. Just go around in circles. Just go round and round and round and round. They think that as long as they're rooted in grace, they got their salvation right and not trusting in themselves or their own works. And as long as they give testimony to God's goodness in their lives, and as long as they do some good things along the way, and as long as their conscience is relatively quiet and calm, then that's what the Christian life is. That is living the Christian life. And they just go round and round and round and round. They never grow. For them, the Christian life is kind of a laborious experience of modified boredom. No excitement, no change, no real challenge. Just kind of doing the same thing. No, they're not bad people. And no one would accuse them of being overly intrusive. They are, for the most part, kind people. But their lives are pretty flat. This verse in Hebrews 13 closes the whole message of the book of Hebrews by saying that that cycle of things we're to do, conscience, God working in our lives, lips filled with praise, hearts rooted, those are good things. But those things are not just to be a circle, they're to be a spiral. That is, as we do those things, God intends to actually lift us. God intends to actually take us to a new level. That the goal of the Christian life isn't doing those five things. Those five things are there to assist us or to equip or to help us to reach a different goal. And that goal is to be more than thankful, to be more than good, to have more than a good conscience. The goal is to know God, to become more intimate with God, and to have him shape and fashion and change us so that we become like him. So the goal isn't goodness, the goal is godliness. The goal is not serving God. The goal is through service to love God, to know God, to become like God. That's the goal. So you're not just going around and around and around and around, but that that circle should lead us in an ascending scale of intimacy, usefulness, and likeness to God Himself. A little girl had an aunt who was very religious and very stern. And after chastising the little girl for something that the aunt thought unnecessary, the little girl in tears went to her room. And that night, as the auntie and the little girl were praying, the little girl prayed in total innocence. She prayed, "Oh God, please make everybody good, and then make all the good people nice." Get it? Get it? See, the goal isn't just to be good. The goal is to become godly. The goal isn't just to represent God. The goal is to become like God. The goal, as pointed out in this verse, has three aspects. First of all, it's to have God equip you, that's what it says, make you complete in every good work. To have God Himself actually get into the mechanics of your life. To have God Himself, through His Word, get into the very thought processes of your mind. And to have God transform and improve and equip you, changing you. See, that's the first thing. So that we can do His will. So that everything in our lives reflects why we were created. So that we're functioning out, we're living out the intense desire that God had when He made you. It's interesting to talk to parents at graduation times and receptions and to hear them talk about how proud they are of their son or their daughter and this achievement. And that's good. But does your life make your Creator proud of you? Are you a walking fulfillment of God's will? Now, secondly, it says that this same God who is equipping us in order to do His will, working in you. That is, He is actively involved in doing, in energizing, in expressing His mind through my mind. Expressing His desire through my desires. So that I become a walking, talking, functioning representative of God Himself. Are you there yet? God wants us to be there. And the third part in this verse is, so that in His working through us, what is well-pleasing to Him will be the result. That is, when God watches me, when God experiences my life with me, God is always saying, that was good. I like that. That pleases me. Now, that's taking your spiritual life to a new level. Now, when we use that phrase in athletics and business, we're talking about people who have gifts and skills, but aren't quite together. And under certain conditions, they are able to put it together and move to a more efficient, more productive, more successful skill level. That's usually the way we use that. Now, for those of you who are race car fans, let me correct the misimpression I created earlier. I understand that the race car drivers aren't just going round and round and round and round. They're not like squirrels in a cage. I understand there's some very serious things going on. I understand that thousands and thousands of people come to see the wrecks. I understand that. And it's a very serious and very dangerous profession. Now, behind all of that, I also understand that products are being tested, calibrations are being changed, master mechanics are watching the performance of the car, people who produce car products are intently scrutinizing the data because they're putting those cars in the most extreme conditions in order to see if they can make them go faster, safer, longer, right? That's the end product. Now, granted, there's a prize at the end, and the guy who drives the car and the team make a lot of money. There's a great deal at risk. There's a great deal for reward for those that make it. But this verse is talking about that aspect of the Daytona. It's saying that God, the master mechanic, wants to move into our hearts and lives and move us out of just going through the cycle of good stuff. He wants to lift us by perfecting the calibrations of our behavior. He wants to change us by working in our minds and hearts, our thoughts and patterns, our reflexes, our values, our judgment. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. And he wants the flow of his divine life to be expressed without hindrance through us in all that we do and say. That's why we're created. To know God, to fellowship with God, to experience God, and then express God. That's what the Christian is all about. Christian isn't just somebody that goes to church. Christian isn't somebody that just reads the Bible. Christian isn't somebody that just prays. Christian isn't somebody that has some weird ideas. Christian is somebody who, through Jesus Christ, is vitally, vitally connected, vitally infused by God and with God, so that the Creator himself is working in the heart, in the life, retooling, rechanging the calibration, making us more efficient, showing us the sense of and leading us into the fulfillment of the thing we were created to do. Energizing us so that we are living out of the resources of his energy and strength, and through all that process, making us so like himself that he is pleased. His will is accomplished. His life is expressed. His passions become my passion. Take your game to a new level. Don't be content to just do good things round and round and round and round and round and round and round. But rather, the purpose of God is to use those good things in our lives to lift us to a level of intimacy, fellowship, relationship with God, the Creator, who is our source of life and strength and health. And in that process, transform us, make us like himself. Tom, would you come here, please? I want you to meet a dear friend of mine. This is an old friend to many of you, perhaps a new friend to some. This is Tom Julian, Dr. Julian. Tom has served in a variety of ways, but I asked him this morning if he'd reflect for a moment with me about this, and I wanted him to share with you an experience in his life where these things began to become real, and where this became real to him in a new and a special way. Tom, good to have you here.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for ministering to me this morning, well, Jeff. And by the way, thanks to all of you for giving us the privilege of extending your ministry into Paris these past 3 years. It's been a great experience, and we appreciate the backing that you've given us. You know, Jim, as you were talking, I guess the verse that kept going through my mind was probably one of my favorites, 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we have unveiled faces and behold his glory, we're transformed into his image. And the interesting thing about that verse is that it's from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's not that the Lord is any bigger, but our capacity to know him certainly becomes greater as we learn to know him. And I suppose the experience which I've known, perhaps it's been because of going to another place in France for years, being alone part of that time with my wife, away from the structured church that we loved so well, just to get to know him more, to realize that knowing the Lord Jesus is the summit of the salvation that he's given us through worship, and also even reading the Bible, not simply to learn more about the Lord, but to learn to know him more. Relationship more than just knowing about him. And I think the wonderful thing for me, Jim, is that it's the promise is that it's never going to end, because there's a weight of glory that he's preparing for us that apparently is going to become heavier and heavier and heavier throughout eternity.
Tom, over the years, you've had the opportunity to lead in not only mission work yourself, but to lead others who are involved in mission work. You've visited mission fields. You've talked to missionaries from all kinds of missionary agencies around the world. As a missionary comes to you, if I came to you today and said, Tom, I know that that's there. I know that God wants that for me. Where do I start? How do I take this, my experience of Christ, to a new level? How would you counsel them to begin to commit themselves to this?
Well, you know, worship, true worship, seems to be almost a lost art. And it certainly, as we cultivate the art of worship and practice the presence of the Lord, realizing that wherever we are, under whatever circumstances, he is there with us and in us and around us. And that cultivating that practice is a skill that we can learn, because the reality is there. He is there. Our consciousness of him is not always there, but it's something we certainly can cultivate. And that's certainly, I think, what I try to counsel people more than anything else.
And as step one in that process, how would I do that tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning? How would I truly worship God? How would I do that 3 o'clock this afternoon? How do you do it?
Why don't you go to an open or a window, look out into the sky, become aware of the presence of God, and simply lift up your soul to him, realizing that he desires more than anything else our fellowship. He wants us, and he desires this fellowship, and that as we simply offer ourselves, by the way, it's too bad that others have taken this away from us, because the Bible says, lift up your hands to the Lord. And it is almost the natural gesture of lifting up our souls to him. And you know, it's not a matter of verbalizing all the time with God, as far as I'm concerned. So many times our prayers are just verbalizing, but to come to the Lord and realize that he is there and that we are in fellowship with him, and allowing him to fill us and to offer ourselves to him. I think that's not only the starting place, but the continuation of a life of blessedness with the Lord. Hmm.
Thanks, Tom. Well, God wants to do that. God very much wants me to be living my Christian life at another level. He wants me to be more intimate with him, more expressive of him, and he wants to change my life so that the most important thing that I'm thinking about isn't what do my neighbors think or even how do I feel, but the most important passion of my life is, does this God please you? Is this something that honors you? Is this something that gives you pleasure? And he wants to form us to himself, transform us into his likeness. And then through that process, the witness and the testimony and the blessing of our lives flow out. Would you take your hymn book, please, and turn to hymn number 455? 455. Several verses of this wonderful hymn are a good place to begin taking your game, taking your spiritual life to a new level. Listen to the expression that Fanny Crosby puts into these words. Listen to it. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. There's connection. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. That's what we're talking about. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. You can pray that prayer. You can sing that prayer to God. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. That's true. Heaven will be magnificent. But until then, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, nearer to thy precious bleeding side. Our Heavenly Father, please take us to a new level. Change all about us that we will see our priorities, our relationships, responsibilities differently from your perspective. That we will not be satisfied with just going through the motions, but through those good disciplines and the cycle of the good life, we would touch the face of God. God's Spirit within us would transform us and renew us and retool us and perfect us and mature us and make us like you, Father. Make us like you, Lord Jesus. Make us like you, Holy Spirit. And then flow out through our lives, manifesting, accomplishing, expressing things that give you pleasure. Make that our experience, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.